Turn to Acts chapter 20 in the New Testament, please. I know who's leading. Matter of fact, I could probably just not preach and go home after Eloise got through preaching there. I'll tell you, it was good. Hallelujah. Acts 20, I know who's leading in verse 22. I know who's leading. Dear God, do you know who's leading in your life? And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that befall me there. This is Paul talking. Save or accept that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. How many of you know you're supposed to serve the Lord with joy? And I'm going to finish this ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. And then verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. He said, I've worked to take care of myself and I've worked to help take care of others. I have shown you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. We've heard that somewhere else today, haven't we? And when He had thus spoken, He kneeled down and He prayed with them all. And they all wept and fell on Paul's neck and they kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for divine presence and divine anointing. Thank you for accomplishing what you desire in our lives through the preaching of your word. And we give you glory. And everybody said amen and amen. I know who's leading. I know who's leading. This will be the last message for a while concerning the ministry of life and ministry of Saul. The apostle will begin to change our emphasis next week toward more of the Christmas season. You know, Paul had gone through several cities before he got to where our message picks up today. He had sent several others ahead of him who traveled by land while he traveled by boat. Paul was in a hurry to get to Jerusalem before the day of Pentecost. Pentecost was a Jewish celebration that was also known as the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Harvest, or the Day of First Fruits. It was a celebration that Paul did not want to miss. So instead of going to Ephesus, Paul sent for the elders of the church that they would come to where he was in Miletus. Paul had a lot of friends in Ephesus, and he knew that if he went to Ephesus, he'd have a difficult time getting away. And this is where we pick up our message today. The elders are there, and Paul reminded them how he had served the Lord faithfully and he had held nothing back in his ministry to them as he would preach and teach the Word of God. He had preached in the synagogues, and the Scripture teaches us that he'd gone from house to house after preaching the gospel, house church after house church preaching the gospel. I want to keep in mind a couple of things this morning. Paul told them he would probably never see them together again as a group. Verse 16 says, Paul hurried to be at Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. The feast of Pentecost was important to him, but there was more to the story or the reason for going to Jerusalem. And before I go to my first point, let me just take a second here and interject this. It's so good to see Ryan out of the hospital following surgery on both legs and in church today. Good to see you, son. Gone through a lot of pain and suffering, and God's not finished yet, is He, brother? Hallelujah. Our first point this morning is this. I don't know what's waiting for me tomorrow, but I do know who's leading. I don't know what's waiting for me tomorrow, but I do know who's leading. Verse 22, Paul said, I don't know the things that are waiting for me in Jerusalem. None of us know what tomorrow holds, do we? If we knew what tomorrow held for us, many of us wouldn't want to go into tomorrow. Amen? But I know, Paul said, but I know what the Holy Spirit of God has said to me. It makes a difference if you know that God has said something to you. In the New Living, verse 23, it says, the Holy Spirit has told me, this is Paul, has told me in city after city that jail and suffering is waiting on me. Jail and suffering. Think about that. The Holy Spirit didn't tell Paul everything he would face, but He did tell him that suffering was in his future. Sometimes we get the idea because we're a Christian or if we've received Christ, or if we were to receive Christ, you know, we'd have no more problem and no more suffering. But that's really not true. How many of you found that to be true? A scripture came to my mind as I prepared this message. It said, it rains on the just and on the unjust. And I got to looking at that. And really, we've taken that scripture out of context and taken it wrong, I feel. Rains on the just and the unjust. And if you study that, you know, no matter whether you're saved or not, we are blessed. Whether you're saved or not, whether you know Christ or not today, the sun shines on you. The sun in the sky shines on you just like the sun in the sky shines on me. And when He sends the rain, He sends it for the saved and He sends it to those who don't know the Lord. Amen? So He's wanting us to see in that Scripture, not that so many terrible things come to all of us, but the blessing of God is there. Can you say amen to that for all of us? Now, this was not going to be just a one-time thing in city after city. It was going to be city after city. Man, this is what he had to look for. How would you like to know God's leading you to minister, to teach, or preach, or to do a work somewhere, and you knew everywhere you went, you was going to end up in jail? Amen? Suffering was in his future, and though Paul knew that, he still said, I have got to get to Jerusalem. You know, this would have been more than enough information for me. And for most of us, wouldn't it? It'd be more than enough information for the Holy Spirit to say, jail time, suffering coming, suffering's waiting for you, Leo, everywhere you go. Isn't that exciting? That'd be enough for me for God to say, you're going to go to jail everywhere you go, you're going to be suffering everywhere you go. It'd be enough for me to say, or to decide, well, I'm going to stay right where I am. Anybody else? Eloise said you need to get out of your comfort zone if we stay right where we am. Did that get your attention? If you stay right where you are, you'll never accomplish anything for God. None of us will. We can't stay where we are, and He loves us too much to leave us like we are. So that was enough information, probably enough for you and me both to just say, I'm staying right where I am. Because I don't like suffering, do you? Why would Paul insist on going to Jerusalem? Now I want you to hold steady because we're going to see shortly in the message why he would do that. In Matthew 6:34, the New Living Translation says, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Can anybody amen that today? I'm telling you the truth. Today's troubles are enough for today. That applies to you. That applies to me, doesn't it? Today's troubles are enough. If you believe, if you have already found out the daily troubles are enough, raise your hand. Amen? Would anybody like any more? I'll give you some of mine. See? Today's troubles, that's Scripture. So far, this message has not been too encouraging, has it? If we end the message right now, we'd probably leave in a pitiful condition, wouldn't we? Because so far, Brother Bracken, you've told us nothing encouraging. All you've told us is Paul's heading for trouble and so are we. Well, why don't you say something in faith with me this morning? First of all, why don't you say with me, and it's on the screen, sometimes life is hard, but God is good. Say it with me. Sometimes life is hard, but God is good. Now, did you mean what you said? Sometimes it is hard, but God is good. Matter of fact, let's just make another statement in faith. The next one says, sometimes life is hard, but God is faithful. Say it with me. Sometimes life is hard, but God is faithful. Do you really believe that today? How many have already had enough hard knocks to last you a lifetime? How many here has already found that God is faithful and He's been right there with you? Glory to... How many of you know He'll make a way again? How many of you know He's the one that brought you out to begin with? Life is hard. Sometimes life is hard, but God is faithful. And we've said these statements when all we've seen and heard so far this morning seems to be negative. At least we think they're negative. Now let's go to Acts 20 and verse 24. Paul said, but none of these things move me. Sometimes we're too easily moved or swayed. He said, none of these things move me. Neither I count my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy the ministers who I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of grace. None of these things move me. Here's really what Paul's saying. I want you to get this. If you don't write anything else down, write this down. Knowing trouble is ahead does not change my focus or my direction. Didn't hear one shout on that. When you get through writing, shout. I want you to listen to it again. This is really what Paul... None of these things move me. He's saying, knowing trouble is ahead, it does not change my focus nor my direction. That's who Paul was. That's how he lived. There's enough in life, if we're not careful, we'll lose our focus. I've done it. Been there. Done that. Anybody else? And sometimes there's enough that comes our way, battles against us, whether in home or family or finance, health, whatever it is, there's enough that comes against us sometimes. If we're not careful, we're moving in a different direction than what God wants us to move. And Paul's saying, none of these things move me. I've made up my mind, no matter what happens in my life, no matter what comes my way, no matter what happens in my family, I'm going to keep my focus on Jesus, and I'm going to keep going the direction He's led me to go. That's really what Eloise was saying. You should have preached this. Not going to take a break this morning. You know it? Hallelujah. Acts 20:24 in the New Living Translation. Listen to what Paul said. My life is worth nothing unless I use it for doing the work God assigned me by the Lord Jesus. The work of telling others the good news about God, God's wonderful kindness and love. My life is worth nothing unless I'm doing what God's called me to do. I know what it's like to miss God. I know what it's like to get out of His will and do my own thing, thinking it was God or trying to prove that it was God. And I was a miserable person. For a short time. It didn't take me long to wake up and get back where I needed to be. Can you relate to that today? Paul said, my life is worth nothing unless I'm doing what God has called me to do. How can Paul be so steadfast and so determined? How can he be that way? How can you and I take Matthew 6:34? Today's trouble isn't troubles are enough for today. How can we take those and it not get the best of us? Well, here's the answer to both of those questions. One of my favorite, I love all the Bible, but this one's been a favorite since I got saved at 12 years old, since I accepted Christ. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. If you know it, say it with me. And His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. How about you know what all things mean? It means everything. All things. God will provide for you. God will provide for me. Seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So, a question today is, who is first in your life? Who's first in your life? Next question is, What are you pursuing? What are you chasing after? I like the Matthew 6:33 in the New Living as well. He will give you all you need from day to day. That sounds pretty good to me. If you live for Him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. Can we do that? Is God asking too much of us? Is He asking too much of you? Is He asking too much of me? Is He requiring too much? Too much is given what? Much is required. God's given you much. He's given me much. He has blessed our lives beyond the ability to thank Him for everything. Hasn't He? And yet, and so for Him to say, listen, I'll meet all of your needs. I'll work for you if you'll just live for me and make my kingdom your primary concern. So in a nutshell, He's saying, live for Jesus. Pursue God's will first. Then you'll not have to worry about tomorrow. You know, when you cease to seek God like you should, you're not quite as concerned about His will. Am I telling you the truth? You heard Eloise. I decided to get out of my comfort zone. It'd be easy to stay in bed, not come to prayer, not come to Bible study. It'd be easy to stay home every Sunday night and watch TV instead of coming to church. It'd be easy to put everything else in the place of my worship with God. Or my worship of God. Ah. Live for Jesus. Pursue God's will first. Then you will not have to worry about tomorrow. Then you'll be able to endure and grow stronger when the troubles of the day is enough to handle. And I tell you, sometimes they're more than enough to handle. I'd be first to admit that. And the only way we handle them and go through them but become stronger is through Him. Acts 20:22 says, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing all the things that will face me there. He knew some of the things, but He didn't know everything. And it's probably a good thing God doesn't tell us everything that's waiting, isn't it? Sometimes He does give us some information, doesn't He? Now, Paul didn't know everything about the troubles in the future, but he knew enough to where that knowledge could have caused fear and worry to cling to him. Dear God, I just had God speak to me. And He said, every town I go into, I'm going to go to jail. And I'm supposed to go to Burgaw and preach next week. Dear God, I don't want to go to jail in Burgaw. God just spoke to me. And listen, I'm supposed to go to Wilmington and preach at First Assembly 3 weeks from now. And God said, I'm going to suffer everywhere, every town I go into. I don't want to suffer. God, I've had enough suffering. There's a lot of people in this room that can relate to that last statement. God, I've had enough suffering. Why would I want to go there and do that? Paul could have worried himself to death. I'll do it, God. I can see him wringing his hand, you know. I don't think he did. Do you? That could have been enough to cause him to worry and be filled with fear. But instead, he said, I've heard from God. He's leading me. The Holy Spirit told me this is where I'm going next. I've got to get to Jerusalem, and this is where the Holy Spirit said to go. And on the way, all these places I go, I'm going to end up in jail, and I'm going to suffer. But guess what? None of these things move me. Paul's saying, listen, I am not going to be shaken. When you doubt that you've heard from God, you will be shaken. And if you've really not heard from God in a certain area or a certain direction, you just need to be still. Keep serving Him until He speaks differently. Amen? None of these things move me. He said, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem. So you see, it wasn't just the Pentecost, the celebration of Pentecost that he was interested in. And the NLT, verse 22 says, "And now I am going to Jerusalem, drawn there irresistibly by the Holy Spirit, not knowing what awaits me." And I really like that. I'm going to Jerusalem, but guess what? The Holy Spirit's drawing me there. Anybody ever found the Lord to be irresistible? Anybody ever found the Lord to be irresistible? Remember the times He's been so irresistible you couldn't wait to talk to Him again in prayer? You couldn't wait to get back in church to worship Him? I mean, so irresistible, you're just always longing for Him and wanting Him to speak to you. Isn't that where we should live? He said, "I've irresistibly been drawn." The Holy Spirit said, "Go to Jerusalem." See, Paul was drawn, or he was led by the Holy Spirit. He knew God was leading him. He knew God was leading his life. God's not wanting to just lead us from place to place to ministry. Minister, He's wanting to lead us daily in our daily living. And this is where Paul lived. He said, that's why he said, "Listen, none of these things move me. I know I've heard from God. I know I'm in the place I ought to be. I know I'm in the church I ought to be in. I know I'm doing the ministry I ought to be doing. I know I'm following Jesus. I know He's leading me daily. Therefore, none of these things move me. I will not be shaken. I will not lose my focus. And I will not go another direction, because I know God is at work in my life and He is leading me." Come on, give Him a hand. He is leading me. And there'll be things to try to convince you to get off track with what God has for your life. It happens to me. It will happen to you. But you got to know in your knower, deep inside, that you've heard from heaven. That you've heard from the Holy Spirit. Do what you do. Go where He wants you to go. Because He's leading. Paul was so sure of God's leading that he could not resist. Has the Lord ever dealt with you and you just, you know, couldn't resist? Now sometimes we go, you ever gone kicking and screaming? But we need to get to the place we don't kick and scream when God's trying to lead us. To where we trust Him that He'll take care of us. And He'll use us for His glory. So listen today. Someone is leading in your life. Someone's leading. Who is it? Somebody's leading. Is it the Lord? Is it the devil? Isn't it something people can go to Walmart when they can't go to church? That's not in my notes. Let's see. Who's leading? Is it you? Who's leading? Is it what you want that motivates you? Or is it God's will for your life that motivates you? My. Is it your husband or wife that's leading you? Or is it the Lord? Who's leading? Is it money? When I was young, and now I'm older, not old. When I was young, I worked on 3 jobs. Foolish. 3 jobs until I collapsed on one. Wasn't worth it. Who's leading? Is it money? Addictions? Fear controlling your life? Causing you to make the decision? Someone's leading in your life. Selfishness? Selfishness says, "I don't need anyone else. I can make it on my own." No, you can't. We need each other and we need the Lord. The Bible says, "No man is an island." Someone's leading you. Someone's leading your life. Who is it? Anyone other than Jesus will lead you into unhappiness and to heartache. There is a way that seemeth right unto the man, and the end thereof is death. Anybody other than the Lord leading, you're going to have heartache. Come on, be honest with me. Am I telling you the truth today? You're going to be unhappy. Anyone other than Jesus leading in your life, you're going to be unhappy. Romans 8:14. Thought I had it marked. Are you still with me? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, what? They might be. They are the sons of God. Feels good to be led by Him. Feels awful to lead myself. Feels awful when I give in to my flesh. Anybody else? As many as are led by the Spirit of God. Paul knew he was being led by the Holy Spirit. That's why he said, listen, none of these things are going to shake me up and shake my faith or move me in any way. I know that I'm whom I believed, and I know that I'm following Jesus. God's children are those who are led by Him. Now, do you remember the main point or the main emphasis of this message? I've had just one main point, but it's taken me a while to do that one. How many of you glad I don't have five today? Remember that main point, main emphasis. I don't know what is waiting for me tomorrow, but I know who's leading. If you've never really had the Lord lead you, you don't understand the value of that. There's nothing like the peace, the joy, and the hope that comes when you're following Him. When He's doing the directing instead of you. If you're off track with your life, someone other than Jesus is leading. Amen? Each of us is following and someone or something is leading. Paul knew who was leading him. Do you know who? Yes, you know who's leading you. He was drawn irresistibly by the Holy Spirit. That's how He brings us to salvation, to relationship with God. He keeps drawing and speaking, but it comes irresistible to where we want Him. And he said the Holy Spirit was leading. Anyone or anything or anyone who is drawing you away from the Lord is not led by the Holy Spirit. Call themselves Christian if they want to. But if they lead you into sin or you lead them into sin, God is not leading. Now, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, a scripture many of us know by heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. What? Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He will direct your path. He will direct your path. Trust the Lord. Put your life, your future into His hands. And He will guide you. Won't He? He will guide you. He's ready to lead, isn't He? Jeremiah 29:11. You might know that verse. In the New International Version, I really love it. Are you ready? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That would make you want to follow the Lord. Amen? That would cause you to allow the Holy Spirit to direct your life. Because this is a promise of God. I know the plans I have for you. What a thought. God has plans for you. God has plans for me. If you've gotten off track, okay, who hasn't? Just get back on. Get back on track. Follow and pick up where you are. Pick up where you left off. Go on with God. Begin to grow. Pursue Him. Follow the Holy Spirit. God has a plan for your life, and that plan is good, and that plan is prosperous. He has a hope, and He has a future for you beyond your own imagination. It's better than you can dream up. Better than I can come up with. If you've never known Jesus in a real and personal way, He has a plan for you. I want you to know today. Just come to Him. If you've known the Lord but have not been following Him as you should, He has a plan for you. Doesn't He? He has a plan for you. Just come to Him. If you've gotten slack in your commitment to Jesus, it's time to recommit and rededicate your life to Him. God has a plan for you. I never knew when I first accepted Christ at 12 years old and around 14 was called to the ministry, age 14. Somewhere around in there. I never knew God would lead me to a place called Wallace that I'd never heard. To people I'd never known. And to people I'd fall in love with. But God had a plan. I moved to the coast to plant a church at Cape Carteret. Thought I'd be there a while. 18 months. Then New Bern. 18 and a half years here. God had a plan. His plan for your life is just as important as His plan for mine. Who's leading? Will you stand? God has a plan. God has a plan. Can you say this morning, I know who's leading, and it's not me. I know who's leading, and it's not me. Can you say that today? I remember when I wanted to go back to college so bad, I resigned my job, had a job waiting on me in Florida to go back to Southeastern. I wanted to finish. I like finishing things. My wife will tell you that. I don't like to just start. I like to finish. But as soon as I got to Florida, I wanted to go back so bad. Gave up my produce manager job in the grocery store. Went back to Florida to go back to Bible school. Good paying job waiting on me. Kept me I used to work for. The day I got the keys to my van, Haines City Fire Extinguisher Service, put my key in the truck. As soon as I started it up, I started weeping because I knew I'd missed God. I wanted to go back so bad, but God had another plan. Got on the phone pretty quick, called my boss back in Brevard, said, can I have my job back? He hired me back. I went back, worked in that produce room, wrapping lettuce, shucking corn, doing all the stuff you're supposed to do, crying in that back room, thinking nobody will ever have faith in me again, because I blew it. Said God was leading me back to school, and here I am back. And I had to work through all the emotions of missing God. Didn't backslide. Still serving Him, but it wasn't His plan for me. It wasn't long after I was back, got a phone call about my first church. Church I told somebody I'd never go to. Because I knew it's history, but God said, you're going. When I got back where God wanted me, He opened the door at 26 years old to pastor my first church. God's ordered our steps. He's ordered many of yours. God has a plan. Who's leading? Father, thank you for this wonderful congregation today. Thank you for your word that never returns void, but accomplishes what you desire in our lives when we respond and allow it. Lord, we know life has hardship, and sometimes because we choose to serve you, there's hardships we would not face if we weren't a believer. But oh God, help us today, I pray, to get to the place in life, in relationship with you, where Paul was. None of these things move me. God, you have such a wonderful plan. And Lord, I want to follow it out to my last breath. But I'm not the only one. Every person in this room, you have a plan for his or her life. And deep inside, there is the desire to follow out that plan and to live it out to the last breath. But some of us have been hindered. Things have gotten in the way. Lord, sometimes we've caused trouble to ourselves. Sometimes it's temptation from the devil. Sometimes it's another person. Sometimes it's just simply self. And things have gotten in the way. And Lord, you are no longer the prime one that motivates us. God, you know who that is. You know who that man is. You know who that woman is. And I ask you today, God, to just move in that heart and help him or her to see that they are accepted by you. But not only accepted, but Lord, you're ready for them to just step right back in. Get on track with the plan for their life. God, let that sink deep in the soul today. Into the heart, I pray.